and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A new setback for SpaceX. The company's super heavy rocket Starship came apart over the Indian Ocean after launching from Texas. CBS's Josh Allen is in Dallas.
They had some propellant leaks and they lost the ability to kind of control the direction of that ship as it goes from side to side.
Officials in Gaza say one person was killed, 48 wounded when a hungry crowd was fired on after overrunning a new distribution site set up by an Israeli and U.S.-backed foundation. UNRWA's Commissioner General Philip Lazzarini.
It will deprive large part of Gaza, the highly vulnerable people, of desperately needed assistance.
Stellantis, dealing with declining car and truck sales, is getting a new leader. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
That new CEO, Antonio Filosa, had been running North American operations at Stellantis. He's been tasked to replace Carlos Tavares, who was ousted as Stellantis CEO last year.
CBS News Brief, Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Work on a new bill to help victims of crimes and disasters is underway at the state capitol. Lisa Hale has the story.
Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and a bipartisan group of lawmakers have introduced new legislation aimed at providing tax relief to victims of crimes and disasters. The bill, dubbed the Tax Relief for Victims of Crimes, Scams, and Disasters Act, would reinstate a tax deduction for residents with stolen or destroyed assets. The bill would apply to personal casualty losses from things like storms and fires, as well as theft losses from things like scams or robberies. The legislation will now be introduced by a bipartisan group in the House of Representatives.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has an announcement. Brittany Merlot tells us more about the Rare Plant Monitoring Program's 2025 Plant of the Year.
This year, the agency is encouraging us to plant milkweed in our yards. There are 13 native milkweed species in Wisconsin, and 5 of them are listed as endangered, threatened, or under special concern. Milkweed is especially helpful for monarch butterflies, as the only plants the butterflies lay their eggs on and the only food the caterpillars eat. And if you want, you can find native milkweed plants on the DNR's website.
The Village of Port Edwards is asking residents to weigh in with their thoughts about local transportation needs and safety. The Village Board would like to hear from families and caregivers on the safety of routes that children take to school. This will help direct resources for future improvements to walking and biking paths, crosswalks, and traffic patterns near schools. You can find the link for the survey on the Village of Port Edwards Facebook page. It will be available until June 8th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A Brewers win over Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Red Sox wrapping up their series today in Milwaukee. Last night, Christian Yelich hit a walk-off grand slam in the 10th to lead the Brewers to a 5-1 win over Boston. The inning before, Yelich scored the tying run from third, manager Pat Murphy.
We've all seen that. I've been here with Yelly as long as I have. We've all seen that base hit out of him, that double, and then his base running to get you to third. That's why he's a great player.
NFL, the Packers OTAs continuing today without Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. A report says the Packers will take him back if he takes a pay cut. Jair's agent says he wants to stay in Green Bay, but not with a restructured deal. In golf, the U.S. Women's Open tees off tomorrow in Wisconsin. Nelly Korda on what it's like to compete at Erin Hills.
It tests every part of your game. It's very demanding. Even if you think you've hit it good, you just exhale when you see it stop.
That's golfer Nelly Korda with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers, maybe an isolated thunder shower this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 60s to low 70s with wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight will drop to 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warmer, 74 by Friday. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk movies and about the box office with Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller. Then Dennis Graham, founder of Rock Hansen, joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, May 28th. Coming up later this hour, we're going to be talking about a coalition of groups busy at the state capitol yesterday, trying to get a message to Governor Tony Evers that the next state budget needs to be to a certain level, shall we say, and that if Republicans who run the legislature don't bring that budget to a certain level of support for education and healthcare and workers and the environment, then instead of a whole bunch of line item vetoes, maybe just trash the whole thing, veto it all, and make the lawmakers start over. So we'll talk to a couple of guests about that coming up. Then in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram about the lead crisis in Milwaukee, lead paint chips in some schools, lead water pipes, and how Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. says they're on it, except that they're not. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media political editor, and we'll talk to James Kelly, Civic Media reporter here in Chippewa Falls, about a story out of Hayward that reminds us that during summer vacation from schools, some kids are missing out on the one good meal that they might get each day, and some of the programs that are meant to alleviate that. Melissa Kay is here as well, hanging over from WFHR, 97.5 WFHR, I should say, and 105.5 WIRI, because we spent so much time teasing her about getting a pigeon that we never asked her what is exactly happening in Wisconsin Rapids for, you know, radio and events and news and things like that. So we'll talk to her about that. But first, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us one more day of this cloudy, cool stuff. And then things get really nice after that. Before I forget, Parker Olson is in Madison. Greg Bach is at Radio Park in Racine. And Brittany, for all of us, wherever we are in Wisconsin, a little gray out there this morning. I don't know. Is it that way statewide?
Yeah, it pretty much is. There's a little bit of spots of sunshine far northeast. Lucky you. Hang on to it while you have it, because it is going to be replaced by those clouds very, very soon. Mostly cloudy throughout the day today. We are looking at light rain already rolling into the western areas of the state, far south as well. That is going to lift north as we go through the rest of the morning and into the afternoon, and it's going to scatter out too. So on and off light rain is expected through most of the day today. We could hear some claps of thunder by this afternoon, especially into north central areas. No severe storms are expected, but of course, just some rumbles of thunder out there and some more moderate rainfall in those smaller storms. Otherwise, that all dies out later after sunset. High temperatures today will hit the mid-60s far south. We are looking at about 70 degrees far north. Then tomorrow, we're going to start a little bit of a warm-up. The sunshine will return. We will be in those upper 60s to mid-70s. And then some humidity starts to sneak in for Friday, especially into western areas of the state. Temperatures will soar to the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. We'll get a little cooler on Saturday, but the heat comes right back for Sunday. And let me tell you, those summer heat humidity like mid-80s, dew points in the 70s, they're going to be here next week.
All right. And now one thing that we didn't mention along with the temperatures and the conditions is the extended daytime hours. And Alicia writes in on YouTube, the downside for me with the extended sunlight is I have a very hard time falling asleep before 10 p.m. when I need to wake up for work at 2:45 a.m. I believe Greg would like to give this an amen.
I do not miss those days.
I know what you mean. I got to fall asleep now. During the sun times.
Yes.
Blackout curtains.
Yes.
He's rubbing his eyes hard in stress right now.
Yes. 2:45 a.m.
Yes. For a lot of morning radio and TV folks, you know, they get
or truck drivers.
Or truck drivers or a whole host of other things. Mm-hmm. I used to really dread going to bed, you know, when the sun was still up for these early morning shifts. And now we're just like, now it's practically a game. It's like, can we get blackout curtains dark enough? Can we close the doors enough? Can we just basically a cellar, you know,
put us in the fall asleep before the sun goes down?
Because, and why? Because we're old and tired now. It's like, no, we're going to sleep and no sunshine is stopping me.
Yet?
Yeah, that is really how it is, which is, by the way, how we missed that Christian Yelich walk-off grand slam last night as the Brewers beat the Red Sox 5-1. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Cloudy and 54 degrees. I've got some lawns to mow in Tigerton and a doctor's appointment in Shawano. Yesterday, I mowed some yards in Wittenberg, had lunch at Rachel's Roadside in Wittenberg, a bowl of spaghetti soup.
What?
It was very good, a must stop when you're heading toward Green Bay off Highway 29 at Highway 45, South Exit 198. Rob says, Greg, I have a CPAP machine, and it helps me sleep, and using it since 2019. We mentioned John Fogerty's birthday today and that he loves CCR. And Have You Ever Seen the Rain is his favorite song from them. And honestly, we need more rain. He says, seeing Melissa and Brittany together reminds me to buy them another drink soon. And the rest of you as well. And reminds us that he has a birthday coming up. And it's a lot different in the winter, he writes, when you have to get up at 2 a.m. in the winter to plow snow. And Alicia notes, yes, sanitation people also have to get up super early. And Shizu has the solution, blackout curtains and lavender sleep masks.
Oh, fancy. So
I like that.
I stopped listening to everything once I heard spaghetti soup, and I was very, very curious. So yes. I Googled spaghetti soup, Rachel's Roadside, and what comes up? Rob from Tigerton's post on Instagram. a lovely display. There's a cheeseburger. It looks like a hearty chili.
Ooh.
Wow. The internet has come full circle. And there's no need for anything else.
And a bottle
thanks
of
to Rob, it's all there.
And a bottle of Sundrop.
Yeah. Of course, Sundrop. You're in Tigerton. You have to do that.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. All right. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, Brittany.
Let's find out from Melissa now what's happening on Wisconsin Rapids Radio out there, because again, it was all about Pigeon Quest, you know, before the news break. What you guys working at the stations at up there?
Oh, we got a couple live remotes coming up this weekend. We're excited about Beth and Seth are going to be at Dairy Fest in Marshfield, and they will be broadcasting live on, I believe, on our WIRI station. And then we're also doing a live broadcast at Rapids Transmission in Wisconsin Rapids. Ashley and I will be there. It's the grand reopening of another thing coming full circle, because it was a family-owned business way back when called Rapids Transmission. Then it was R&R Transmission. Now they're changing it back to Rapids Transmission with the nephew and his wife of the original owners reopening it again.
Okay. And Dairy Fest. Tell folks about that in Marshfield. That's a big deal.
You know, I believe there's going to be lots of pancakes.
Yes, it is a huge breakfast.
But honestly, beyond that, I don't know a ton about it because I wasn't assigned to it.
Okay.
I haven't. But, you know, you can't go wrong with a dairy breakfast.
I still
delicious.
Need to do one of those.
Yes, you absolutely do. They have the best, like, sausages, especially around here where they make them. You'll get some I had some last year in Pittsville that they had like cranberries in it. They had blueberries. They were so good.
Here we go. Thanks to the folks at Channel 7 in Wausau. Beginning Friday in Marshfield, Dairy Fest begins on May 30th at 5 a.m. with the annual Mayor's Breakfast. More than 200 volunteers will serve up more than 1,200 pancakes, 450 pounds of eggs, and 24 gallons of maple syrup. The events will continue into Saturday, attracting thousands to the fairgrounds. This year, the Marshfield Chamber has partnered with the Ronald McDonald House to bring back the Cheese Chase. Well, now I got to know more about
this. Is that like the one they do overseas where they throw a wheel of cheese down the hill and
people run after it?
I don't think the kid one is quite like that, but
and there's not a lot of hills in Marshfield.
Yeah. There is the picnic in the park Friday at Columbia Park from 5 to 8 p.m. There's a craft show Saturday, a downtown parade Saturday at 11 a.m. Starts at 2nd Street and goes south on Central Avenue. There's a family fun day on Saturday and a softball tournament and more.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal.
More than
Beth
I can
and Seth
read
will
here.
Be at the Mayor's Breakfast on Friday, but then they're live broadcasting on Saturday.
Okay. I feel like I hit every dairy breakfast, you know, at some point or another, either as a state senator or a candidate for Congress. And people are, everybody's happy to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is cooking them breakfast. There's these other things for the kids to do. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the Rapids Transmission, if you're in Rapids and you want to come to that, there's going to be free tacos and ice cream and face painting.
Free tacos?
Free tacos? Where is this happening?
Sorry, where?
From 11 to 1.
Where is
11
the free
to 2
tacos? Where?
At Rapids Transmission on Rapids. 8th Street South.
That's right. By Kenosha, right? That's right by Kenosha? Right.
No, dear. You need to drive.
Yes. You got to come on. But it's free tacos!
Why
free
are there
tacos.
Never free tacos by me?
Okay. Shiju writes, now if only I could get some decent black pudding with these breakfasts, I'd be showing up in a heartbeat. What?
You'd have to make it for us.
Yeah, I don't think that.
Yeah. Watch as a radio show Googles live.
Oh, I know. You don't know what black pudding is?
Oh,
no.
Yeah. It's not.
It's not sweet.
It's not sweet. It's a sausage.
It's a kind of sausage made from pig's blood, pork fat, or beef suet, and cereal, usually oatmeal or barley, mm-hmm. and various spices.
Yes.
It's like Raptor was saying, like, Europe. Oh, you want some head cheese? Oh, what's that kind of cheese? Walk away.
Braunschweiger.
I'm out.
Walk away.
Yeah.
Do you know what head cheese is, Parker?
I don't.
You don't know what head cheese is?
Okay. It's Google it, and then I'll see if you have an appetite for the next 4 to 10 hours.
Meanwhile, talking about the Stanley Tucci series, the new one on Nat Geo and Hulu and Disney, where he's going all through Italy, the first two shows focus primarily on tripe. And making Italian dishes with tripe.
You can get that here in Wisconsin Rapids.
There's some of us who are like, what's that? And had to look and realize that now this particular delicacy is made by the fourth stomach of a cow, whereas this delicacy is made from the second stomach of a cow because it's got more of a honeycomb, you know, thing going for it, or heart and tongue, or all these other things. Part gets used.
I had some tripe in a pho soup up in Duluth. It was really good. I'm surprised.
I asked Parker to Google head cheese because I just wanted to see his. I wanted to see his look on his face. Parker, tell the world what head cheese is.
I was physically affected by that image.
It was visceral for Parker.
Oh,
it's a meat jelly dish made from the flesh and gelatinous parts of an animal's head, typically a pig's head, but sometimes a calf or a cow. It's not actually cheese, but rather a meat terrine or aspic. with a aspic. Smooth and creamy texture and a savory pork flavor.
I don't believe this.
It's on the internet, so it must be true.
Yes.
No, aspic has a very interesting history there.
There's a bunch
of it's also known as tripe, also known as offal, and Shiju gets back on and says, "Don't waste good offal."
Oh my god!
I think it's awful.
Exactly. I do too, but if that's how it's pronounced,
well done.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll be here till 9, maybe, waiting for the phone to ring. It was great to catch up, Melissa. I feel like once again we've really undersold everything in Wisconsin Rapids just so we could have some fun with you. But thanks for letting us have some fun with you.
Oh, it's always great fun with you guys.
All right, have a wonderful day.
You too.
Still ahead, we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area, Earl Ingram, Heather Dubois-Bornon, and Robert Craig. All ahead as part of our mornings here live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this a place to spend part of your Wednesday. He has a double check. Yep, Wednesday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The Trump administration has announced tariffs on trade with other countries. While there has been a lot of uncertainty as to how these policies will evolve, it's generally agreed that tariffs can be inflationary, and they have also sparked volatility in the financial markets. How should you respond to tariffs as an investor? Try to build and maintain a diversified portfolio. Tariffs will likely hit some industries harder than others, so consider spreading your dollars among an array of stocks, bonds, and other securities. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against a loss, but at any given time, some asset classes may be up or not hit as hard as others. Finally, follow a long-term strategy based on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. You'll be better equipped to cope with market gyrations that can result from tariffs or from any other event.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives, establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this May 27th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mayloff here, welcoming into the studio our great friend, Promise Bakken, from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Promise, always good to see you. How you doing?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Did you have a good weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah.
All
them? Yeah. Yeah.
Good. I was trying to think of, like, if I was putting you on the spot there and I'd ask you that question, I didn't mean to or anything, but it was a fun weekend, hopefully for everybody.
Yeah.
And we've got fun weeks coming up here, Promise, because one of our signature events, our favorite events in this area, and most consistent events, because this has been going on a long time, Lunch by the River is kicking off on June 5th.
Yeah, Lunch by the River starts on June 5th. So this is a community event where we kind of gather some food trucks and some entertainment and head on down to the Veterans Memorial Park here in Wisconsin Rapids from 11:30 to 1 p.m. And we just kind of have some food, have some sponsor booths out there. You can stop by and check those out. And they most likely have like little swag there that you can grab too. And then, you know, watch some of the entertainment during your lunch break. Lots of people have attended this event. It's one of the great... the biggest ones that we have, like the most people that frequent it, and it's just such a great event.
Promise, this is something that, you know, the community certainly comes in droves and shows up for this one. Every year I've lived in this town, I've seen this event. I've never seen an unpopular Thursday down at Veterans Park. Everyone. And I say that in part because we all know Wisconsin weather. And even in drizzly days or days that it's not the nicest out or something, it's still just tons of people down there. And also to that point, you guys get booked for this pretty early as far as
food trucks or entertainment, a lot of the places, things that want to come down there.
Yeah, we definitely do. We have the whole summer already booked for this year, and we've already got a list started for next year. So every year we look for sponsors to sponsor the days down there. So if you're a sponsor, you get to set up a little booth and showcase what your company has to offer and get in front of like mass amount of people just like in one day in a couple of hour periods there. And then we also have a variety of food trucks, and some of that food down there on those days can be pretty amazing.
Oh yeah. I brought up the fact that this is so popular and that you guys have this book so early.
Yeah.
To speak to businesses out there of the not only the popularity of this event, but the missed opportunity you could be having by sponsoring, by right. being a part of this yeah. event and everything. It's one thing to have people, you know, eyeballs pulled away from something else to come to your yep. location. With this, they're already there.
Right.
So you're just meeting them there. You're mm-hmm. meeting them more than halfway. You're meeting them on their turf, which mm-hmm. Just as somebody who studied a lot of advertising and marketing and a lot of those things, that's where things tend to stay with people so much more. That's yeah. why commercials at home on your TV are so much more successful than they are on your laptop or some of those things.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to that. But
yeah.
when it comes to you businesses out there being a part at Lunch by the River, mm-hmm. it's I don't know, and I'm not even going to ask or get into it or anything as far as what it would cost. But I guarantee you it doubles that with the amount of eyeballs that are going to be down there and seeing it. That's
right.
business 101, and that's yeah. a really great opportunity. Along with all that, also showing the community, hey, I support the chamber. I support my community. Yeah. I love to be a part of these events. I want to come on down.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun.
Yeah, definitely gives you the opportunity to connect face to face with potential
yes.
clients and customers. And it also helps, like, you know, that word of mouth advertising mm-hmm. is the best type of advertising there is out there or anywhere, actually. So, yeah, definitely if you're interested in sponsoring next year, reach out to us. We are getting that list ready.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are booked entertainment-wise, too?
For this year, yes.
Yes, good, yes. good. I only ask because of my band with my fur dog brother, oh. you know, and all that. We're trying to get as many opportunities as we can. We're a young band just starting
okay.
out. We do acoustic instruments, air instruments, really.
Okay.
Sam doesn't really play anything. He's just kind of barks.
Oh.
But one day, we're going to get our first gig, and it won't be at Lunch by the River, though. Maybe a couple years down the line, we're better. Gather by the Band Shell is coming up. Looking forward to this one. It's another one of those signature events, especially in its area and how much we get to, when we get to do this and have fun with this
yeah.
one.
Yeah. So Gather by the Band Shell is once a month. So this year it starts on June 10th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. out at the Rome Town Band Shell. And this is a kind of like a micro version of the Lunch by the River, I would say. We have food trucks down there. We have entertainment down there. And then I know we also are planning on having like games out there for the kiddos this year. I know we started that last year and it went off really well. And there's a couple of other things that we're trying to look at expanding this one because it is in the Rome Center and it's so new yet for us that we just thought maybe we can grow it a little bit more and make it a little bit more family friendly so you can bring your friends down there too, your kids down there. And it's just a great way to just kind of relax after a long work day. Just go mm-hmm. down to the band shell, have some food and have some entertainment and catch up with your friends while the kids play with our games that we have down there. So
that area is only getting bigger and,
yeah.
and stronger over there economically. It's a smart event to have, and it's a fun event to yeah. have. And I'd like to encourage people in that area, if you have ideas or thoughts, please reach out to the chamber, let them know
yeah,
and stuff. Your things. They all want to make it stronger and better every chance they get.
Yep. So this one happens once a month. So once in June, once in July, and once in August, and it's always going to be the first Tuesday of the month.
Mm. And promise, I don't know if, I know it's been a while, I should say, since we've talked about this, but I think the audience has heard me ramble quite a bit about Riverside Park in Nacoosa. That's one of my
yeah.
favorite places in this whole
yeah.
state.
Yeah.
I love that area over there. And having an event with that area is just perfect. It's a match,
yeah.
just a perfect match. And Rendezvous in the Park is coming up.
Yep, Rendezvous in the Park is actually out at the Riverside Park in Nacoosa. And so this one starts on June 18th. It's very similar to Gather by the Band Shell. We have food trucks down there. We'll have entertainment down there from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's free to attend, so you can bring your kids out there to this one as well.
It's I will say it's one of the one of my favorite places to walk, just along the river there and everything. That alone is a good time, let alone when all the stuff comes down there. And it's such a well spread out park that it gives it's perfectly made for events like this. So it's going to be another great one, and we'll be talking about all of these events all summer long as we get closer and closer to them. And be sure to remind you on our morning shows and stuff about these events when they're going on.
You were just listening to the Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of the Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Federal funding cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It threatens not only families, but also farmers. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. One of the farms waiting for final answer is Flagg Family Farm in Rudolph. Carl Flagg is the operator, and he says not only do families depend on SNAP for some additional dollars to spend towards their meals, farmers depend on SNAP to keep clients coming their way.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, it's put thousands and thousands of dollars into the farmers markets here in Dane County and back home in Wausau and Stevens Point. So, yeah, it's a very important program. I just spent 3 days in Washington, D.C., campaigning with Farmers Union. It's very important. What we stress to the politicians is that in the Farm Bill, we need a strong nutrition program.
Carol Flagler from Flagler Family Farm in Rudolph says it's not just about the SNAP dollars helping families to fulfill their meal goals. It's also about making sure those families can afford some of the beneficial food that farmers like him bring to a farmer's market. He says that's something they might not otherwise be able to afford.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
And so far, weather's been cooperating pretty well with Wisconsin farmers. The latest update shows across the state, 85% of the corn's already in the ground, and about 52% of that corn has already emerged. Corn rating from farmers, about 62% called good to excellent. 80% of our soybeans have been planted. Right now, that crop, about 42% emerged. 88% of our potato planting is already complete, and it looks like the first cutting of alfalfa, about 20% done as of Sunday. That's just a quick snapshot on food news for a Wednesday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers, maybe an isolated thunder shower this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 60s to low 70s with wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight will drop to 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warmer, 74 by Friday. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you were to go to the Capitol right now, you would see that hundreds of bills have been introduced in the Wisconsin legislature so far this session, from Assembly Bill 1 to, at last check, Assembly Bill 273. And over in the other chamber, you can go all the way up to Senate Bill 280. But one bill is missing from all those, Senate Bill 1. Republicans reserved Senate Bill 1 for their version of a state budget and tax plan, but it is still missing in action nearly 5 months into the session. So what is it Republicans actually want to do? When are we going to see what they propose? And what will Governor Tony Evers do with it once it comes to him? Now, in the past, he has used his line item veto, his partial veto powers, repeatedly to try to mold and shape the bill. But is that good enough? Or does he have to consider vetoing the whole bill and making the legislature start over? And if so, what are the pros and cons of that? A coalition of groups was in the Capitol yesterday talking about the things that really need to be in the state budget in terms of schools and healthcare and families and, you know, what those standards should be. And we are very happy to have two friends of the program here to talk more about it. Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin, Heather Dubois Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Robert and Heather, good morning. Thanks for being here. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Doing great. Thanks, Pat. Nice to see you.
Yeah. Heather, I saw a Facebook post. You guys had a very busy day around the Capitol, and you said you carried around a particular visual aid the whole day to try to make your point about what needs to be in the budget or where previous budgets have failed and what people want to see in this budget. So what was your core message to lawmakers yesterday?
Well, first of all, Pat, we were thrilled that over 200 people were able to join us on the day after a holiday weekend to share their concerns about the state budget with lawmakers and to call on the governor to pass a better, put his name on a better budget this time around. And I carried this poster with me to remind folks that we have been to every single one of the budget hearings taking notes. And if you look at what things people cared about the most, what's best for kids tops that chart. Public education, K through college, childcare, higher ed, Medicaid expansion, and holding the line on prisons and criminal justice reform were the lion's share of the testimony. Over half of the people who spoke on one of those three subject areas. And so the people who were at the Capitol today were a critical mass, but they didn't speak for themselves. They represent the majority of concerns that were heard around the state at every single one of those budget hearings. And those are the concerns that the members of the Joint Finance Committee on the Republican side disregarded when they threw the governor's budget proposal away and went back to base. And so our concern is that the people were not heard when they raise their voices in these democratic processes. And we want to call on all of our lawmakers and the governor to listen this time around and to pass a budget that actually meets the needs of our kids and our communities and stop playing political games with the money that we trust the state to use effectively and according to our needs.
That is it's a very telling pie chart that you were showing me with, again, the topics that were brought up most in the Joint Finance Committee hearings. And Robert, as somebody who's been active on the healthcare part of it, especially expanding Badger Care through Citizen Action, I'm sure that pie chart didn't surprise you either, even if it still seems to be a surprise to some of the lawmakers.
Well, I don't know if it's a surprise, but they entirely ignored it, Pat. So they've turned these budget hearings, which are supposed to be the legislature actually hearing from people who have take the time to go and speak to them about the budget, into just a sham where they pretend to listen and then they do what they're going to do, which is, this is an example of the decay of our democracy. And so Heather showed with that chart just where the public is that actually came to Joint Finance Committee and testified. It's overwhelming that the top issues are education funding, healthcare, especially expanding Badger Care, which is a huge common sense step we can still take. And that's not going to be, that opportunity is not being eliminated at the federal level. They took that off the table. And common sense criminal justice reform. And so since the legislature, Pat, is ignoring the people in the hearings, we brought the people to the Capitol. And this is extraordinary, Pat. You've been doing this a long time. I've never seen such a list of groups, and it was Citizen Action Wisconsin, Wisconsin Publication Education Network, Wisdom, WEAC, which is a major power in Democratic politics, and its major urban affiliates, AFT Wisconsin, number of others, and the child care advocates, who really got a lot of attention this cycle, coming in. I've never seen a group of groups like this come and ask a Democratic governor to change his tactics. You see, in the last three budgets, he's essentially, with some line item vetoes, signed the Republican budget, divided rule in a situation where only one person was elected by the whole people, and that is Governor Evers. Since they, Pat, use every ounce of their power they can, a lot of illegitimate use, like not confirming the governor's appointments on a regular basis as a strategy, just for one example, the governor needs to use all of his legitimate power, and that is his veto power. And that is to make it clear, set a bottom line, say that this is my bottom line, include Badger Care expansion and sufficient funding for public schools, child care, and common sense criminal justice reform does not build any more prisons, and say, I will not sign a budget that doesn't do that, that he has to do that. Otherwise, he's allowing them to get a Republican budget where this should be a compromise pact. So that's where we are. And as organizers, this is about power. So we're saying we'll be with the governor and stand behind him, all these people, Pat, but the governor needs to lead.
So if the governor were to threaten to or actually veto the whole bill, there are a couple of different ways you could go. Robert, I'll start with you and then Heather. And there is this notion that if the governor were to veto the whole thing, Republicans would just say, oh, yeah, well, then we just won't pass a budget at all. Everything will continue at the same level. It's not like government shuts down and there won't be any improvements in anything either. So is that the tactic that would keep Governor Evers and others from vetoing a bill in its entirety? And what's your answer to that potential?
It's very similar to what Chuck Schumer said when he crossed most other Democrats and voted for a Republican bill to keep the government open, which also put in place a whole lot of the changes Doge and Trump are illegitimately and illegally making. What we've seen from the Democratic grassroots, which is everyone is for democracy, not just Democrats, is that they expect leaders now to fight and to use all their leverage. And so I think it's a sign of weakness to say, oh, I couldn't veto the budget because it could put in place a worse budget. It has to be used as leverage to force a negotiation and to force public attention on these popular issues that the legislature is against and is trying to block, because then they face much more consequences at the ballot box, the only real Democratic accountability. The other thing, Pat, is, what I heard at the Capitol yesterday, they're talking about putting most of their budget in separate appropriations bills with no line item veto and putting forward only a base budget so they could avoid the governor's line item veto powers in a budget. So we're in a situation where they're playing hardball anyway and are acting against all previous norms. The governor has got to be willing to stand and fight. But part of this, Pat, is if he lays this bottom line, the public will know who is blocking fair funding for public schools, who is blocking healthcare for 90,000 more people and more, getting more money for doing that, child care, which everyone needs and wants to. And so I think that that's the only thing that can work in a democracy, that signing a Republican budget and then declaring it some kind of victory actually harms the public understanding of what is really going on.
Heather, I feel like the sentiment for this really increased after this last go-round where the governor agreed to an increase in local aid and in funding for local schools, public schools, but the amount of money that went to the voucher program was immense and to some people didn't look like a compromise at all, and really has led to this notion of, you know, better to veto a bad budget than to try to fix it with partial vetoes. What are your thoughts on that, Heather?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
It's getting ready for school time here. Sorry for the background noise.
That's all right.
Yeah, you're totally right, Pat. People were really confused by the budget deal that the governor worked out last time, because while he did arrange a deal that exchanged a much needed increase to the low revenue limit ceiling, he did so in return for what turned out to be the largest expansion to privatization programs that we've ever seen in one swoop. And so this massive increase to vouchers and independent charters was not matched by a massive increase to public school funding. We saw a little lift to the low revenue limit ceiling, which, though welcome, did not even get our low spending districts up to the state average. And we saw a budget ultimately passed that didn't even provide an inflationary increase to our public schools. In fact, about 40% of school districts received less state aid in the first year of that biennial budget than they had the previous year anyway. And so that's why we have seen a record number of districts have to go to referenda in the course of the past 2 years. 419 questions, I believe, is the final count. Keep in mind that we have 421 total districts. We've had districts that have had to go again and again to voters to ask to raise taxes on themselves because the state is not paying its share. And it's just an unsustainable cycle. And this cycle of going back to base, fighting for crumbs, not getting enough, going back to base, fighting for crumbs, not getting enough, just has to stop. That cycle is not going to stop itself. And as Robert said, now we're hearing about this other layer of political games playing on top of it. And we were just headed to the Capitol yesterday to say enough. Enough is enough. Do your job. Your job is to make sure that our public schools have the resources they need so that every kid's needs can be met. And you are not meeting that obligation right now. Do better.
On YouTube, Tony writes, I saw so many photos on Facebook from the Capitol yesterday. It was amazing. And I mentioned seeing, you know, Heather in photos along with some of the folks there. Robert, you mentioned all the people that were there as well, that this really has much more of a grassroots feel than, you know, so much of the AstroTurf stuff we saw from, you know, back in the days of, you know, the Tea Party and things like that. Between that and the pie chart, Robert, I mean, you completely feel the public sentiment shifting, and with fairer maps, non-gerrymandered maps, you've got to feel better about taking this kind of a message into the 2026 election cycle, not meaning to get ahead of myself.
I hope we can get a budget, right, Pat? So if the Republicans do the right thing, then they are in a better stance in the 2026 elections. But if they're going to do what they did before, we at least want to make it crystal clear that they did it and exactly what they did so they can be held accountable. That's the only way democracy works. Softening the edges doesn't work, Pat. But what our hope is that the governor will create a very difficult environment for them politically that will actually make them do the right thing and find common ground with Governor Evers on these issues. Because as Heather says, we cannot continue this cycle over and over again. And in fact, Pat, with what the House did, the House of Representatives and their tax on Medicaid, they left the extra money for Medicaid expansion, but it sunsets the full amount, getting 95% of it paid for by the federal government for 2 years, sunsets on January 1st, 2026. This is the last budget we can get the full Medicaid expansion amount. But education, school districts are at the breaking point with the referendums. Heather talked about this all the time.
Without a doubt. Head to the comment sections on Facebook and YouTube to see the links that they provided us where you can sign your name to a letter of support. Robert Craig from Citizen Action, Heather Dubois-Bornon from Wisconsin Public Education Network. Thanks so much, you guys. Appreciate all that you're doing. Earl Ingram
Thanks
coming
for
up.
Having us.
You bet. Earl Ingram coming up in our next hour along with Dan Schaefer on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As
as Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Georgia law allows unlimited challenges by voters to the eligibility of other citizens registering or voting. Before a hotly contested U.S. Senate runoff election in 2021, an activist group challenged over 364,000 voters. The case is now before an appeals court. Remember the Georgia legislature's notorious SB 202 prohibiting line warming, the giving out of food and water for voters forced to wait in long lines to vote? That is only one of many barriers in the law targeting voters of color. Another allows citizen activists unlimited challenges to the eligibility of other citizens to register and vote, often using inaccurate or hearsay information. At issue are mass challenges to over 364,000 mostly black and Hispanic voters by True the Vote, the Texas group that brought you the discredited 2000 Mules conspiracy theory documentary. Georgia's Fair Fight Action sued, but a federal district court said voters testifying didn't provide enough evidence to rise to a Voting Rights Act violation. In Fair Fight's 11th Circuit appeal on May 13th, two judges in the three-judge panel voiced concern over the legal foundation of the lower court's decision. One judge suggested that the intent of voter suppression was enough to be a violation of the VRA, even if citizens voted successfully. Expect a decision in the coming weeks. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Join the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors for ACW Wrestling Night May 31st. Enjoy the thrill of pre-game wrestling matches featuring former WWE ACW member and former WWE Cruiserweight Champion, Wisconsin native Hornswoggle. An autograph session will follow, but if you purchase a VIP package, you'll get a ringside seat and a guaranteed autograph and a ticket to the game. Take yourself out to the ballgame at historic Winterfield in Wisconsin Rapids for Raptor Baseball and ACW Wrestling Night May 31st.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to an extra innings edition of Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Got your host, James, here, and I am joined today by some amazing people. And does anybody feel that? That's baseball. It's right around the corner, everybody. We are so darn close to it. And we're going to really be setting it off today with Meet Your Raptors, a special edition of the program where we've got in with us today, Coach Ziggy, because I'm not going to attempt that name without talking to you about it first, sir. I actually wanted to do this with you live on the air. So we'll do that in a second. Thanks for being here, Coach. How you doing?
Good. I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here, sir.
And I also want to introduce our intern with the Raptors, Ryan Williams, is with us as well. Ryan, thanks for being here, man.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate the time, you guys. Let's go ahead and maybe the most important question I'm going to ask today, Coach. How do I say your last name?
Ziglowski.
Yeah, ain't so bad.
Easy.
That's not so bad. Mine's Maloff.
It falls under Czechoslovakian because it's the Y.
Oh, okay. All right.
SKI would be Polish, so...
I'm a history nerd. I love that stuff. That's awesome. That's interesting. Thank you for hearing that. I am going to stick with Ziggy quite a bit, but you prefer that.
I'm good with Ziggy.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine you probably had to get used to that at a young age.
Ziglowski on the back of the jersey was a little heavy at a young age.
They use up a lot of letters on that one. Imagine. We'll talk with Ryan in a moment here, but Coach, I'm going to put you on the spot. I mean, talk to you first. We're going to get to know you here a little bit today. And one of my favorite questions to ask somebody when they first join us, a little bit of your origin story. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, and how you fell in love with baseball.
So I'm from California, Orange County, Garden Grove, born and raised, been there 43 years. Dad raised us as a single kid, or as a single family, since I was in kindergarten. Grew up on a baseball field. That's all I remember is day in, day out, Dad doing the fields, Dad waking up and taking us to tournaments. And so that's my background, you know, growing up was just a ball rat, you know.
Yeah.
Playing
yeah.
pickles and butts up against the wall, stuff like that. And so that's where I got my love for baseball.
I have a bit of a similar one. My father was a minor league hockey player. He was a boxer. And I don't remember falling in love with hockey or it being introduced to me. It just was a part of my life from such a young age. So it wasn't so much that you fell in love with baseball. You were born with baseball.
That's what we did. And then you didn't realize why he was doing what he did. It's, you know, it's raising a family's tough.
Yeah.
You know, to know the grind that he put in just so we can play, me and my brother. It was, as you get older, you see and respect it.
Yeah, yeah. And I imagine it only strengthens your love for the game.
Oh, yeah.
And the connection with the game.
And that's the give back. You know, I think that's where my coaching style kind of takes over. Is
right on.
Giving back all the time. You know, be a player's coach first, you know, over my self-worth, you know.
One of my next questions was going to be why baseball, but we've kind of answered that. We kind of got ahead of that one. So when it comes to that, why coaching? What made you want to decide to keep pursuing this and keep going in with following through and coaching?
Just opportunities, you know, giving opportunities to people, you know, having a knack, being, you know, I was always a team captain, so it was easy for me to teach. You know, I felt like I teached why I played the game. Mm-hmm. You know, so the transition was easy for me. And, you know, for me, I love recruiting. Mm-hmm. I love the aspect of offering something, you know, building something and building from ground zero. You know, me taking over this job is ground zero. You know, they've had a great program here, but it's my year one. You know, my year one starts my style, and my style's family. My style's community. My style is, you know, opportunity. You know, mm-hmm. So I'm blessed to be in a situation I'm in.
Every sport has its, you know, its advantages when it comes to these things and stuff. But for me, as somebody, I've joked with my dad my whole life. I've always cheated with sports. I love, you know, wins and losses and victories like anybody else. My home team, I'm a homer. You know, my team's winning. I'm losing my mind and all that. But it's the people. It's the stories. Like, I can't just look at a box score. I got to know the players. I got to know little bits and pieces about them and everything. And it only brings me more and more into the game. If it was just scores and wins and losses, I don't know how much I'd care about sports. It's that heart, that fellowship that you're touching on there that really brings you to the game. And I don't think there's a sport that does that like baseball.
I think the stats, you know, got a lot of people away from the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chasing stats. They don't go back to old school, which is eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does he pass the eyeball test? What do I see out of it? And, you know, what fits in somebody else's storyline may not be my storybook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what fits in my pictures that I want to put in there? And, you know, that's how coaches should go about things, because opportunities will be offered to different people.
When you were touching on a little bit already, your style of coaching, you're talking about family, fellowship, a lot of
passion, you know, fired up. Be a team guy first. You know, your rhythm will come. You know, if you're in a struggle, find little small things. Get to the yard early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pick up a bucket. You know, let somebody who is hot, give them a pat on the bat.
Mm.
You know, then yours will start coming.
Right on. When it comes to the ball play and all that, are you do you consider yourself a bit of an aggressive manager, somebody that wants the guys running those bases a lot?
Yeah. We got to go. Yeah. Like, especially the way the Northwoods was played last year in front of me. It's chasing the portal. The transfer portal for kids. Trying to make a team, sending them back with 17 stolen bases that are up 16-1. Baseball got lost in my eyes. But if you don't keep up, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah.
So we have to be aggressive this year. If guys are sitting on base more than 3-4 pitches, we got to go. That's got to be a style out here. It's not maybe my style, but you have to adapt.
Getting to know these players and some of seeing some of the signings throughout the offseason and some of that, I can't help myself, and I'm looking at their stats and looking into them a little bit, and I feel like I noticed the theme, and maybe it's just with the modern player, but I feel like I've seen a lot of speed. On this team. A lot of speed.
So my focus this year wasn't to bring in the huge Virginia, Kansas, huge schools that have the state-of-the-art programs, and they're coming into our one tunnel and stuff like that, to where I want to build my style. I don't want to be judged. And I think building lower bulldogs that are hungry, that are looking for a home.
Join James and all his guests on Playmakers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on 105.5 WIRI.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, an uncrewed SpaceX mega Starship rocket that blasted off from Texas came apart over the Indian Ocean. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
They had a propellant leak that put the craft in a slow spin. Flight controllers could not control it. That ruled out a controlled descent to splashdown, which means it inevitably was going to break up in the atmosphere.
Patience over the Ukraine war is wearing thin among lawmakers on Capitol Hill. CBS's Natalie Brand.
There's a bipartisan bill introduced in the Senate by Senators Lindsey Graham and also Richard Blumenthal that would impose maximum sanctions on Russia if Russia does not come to the negotiating table.
Looking for the best car for your teenage driver? U.S. News and World Report's out with a new list.
The Kia Soul, Hyundai Tucson, and Elantra, Honda Civic, Subaru Forester, and